Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Underground Empire, How America Weaponized the World Economy is a nonfiction work of international political economy and geopolitics by Henry Farrell and Abraham Newman. It argues that modern American power is not exercised only through military force or conventional diplomacy, but also through control over the hidden infrastructure of globalization, including financial messaging systems, digital networks, standards, and other points of connection that the global economy depends on. The book introduces and popularizes the idea of weaponized interdependence, showing how central positions in these networks can be used to monitor, pressure, exclude, or constrain foreign actors. Written for a broad audience, it combines academic research with reporting and case-based explanation to make a technical subject accessible. Its purpose is to show how ordinary features of interconnected markets and communications have become instruments of coercion, and why that development matters for alliances, rivalries, and the stability of the international order. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, weaponized interdependence as the book's core analytical framework. The central idea in the book is that interdependence is not automatically symmetrical or peaceful. Farrell and Newman argue that when one country sits at a strategic hub in global networks, it can turn connection into leverage. That leverage comes from visibility into transactions and the ability to disrupt, deny, or reroute flows that others depend on. This framework helps explain why power in the modern economy cannot be understood only by looking at territory, armies, or GDP. Instead, the structure of networks matters. The actors closest to key nodes can shape outcomes for everyone else. The book uses this concept to reframe debates about sanctions, digital control, and economic statecraft. Rather than treating coercion as a one-off policy choice, it presents network power as a durable feature of the global system. The analytical payoff is significant because it links seemingly separate domains, such as finance, technology, and trade, into one theory of influence and control. Secondly, how hidden infrastructure became a tool of state power. A major contribution of the book is its attention to infrastructure that most people never see, but which makes globalization function. Examples include payment networks, telecommunication systems, software layers, and data routing pathways. These systems were not necessarily designed as geopolitical weapons, but their centralization created opportunities for strategic use. Farrell and Newman show that power can emerge from mundane technical architecture if many countries and firms rely on the same hubs. Those hubs become points where surveillance and pressure become possible. This matters because infrastructure is often treated as neutral, when in practice, it can create asymmetries that favor the state or actor with privileged access. The book explains that this is not simply about shutting others out. It is also about being able to observe connections, map dependencies, and intervene selectively. By focusing on infrastructure, the authors reveal how technical systems have become politically consequential. The result is a more precise understanding of how influence is exercised in a connected world. Thirdly, sanctions, surveillance, and selective coercion in the post-Cold War economy. The book places special emphasis on the practical tools that make network power effective, especially sanctions and monitoring. It argues that the United States has increasingly used its position in global financial and informational systems to punish adversaries and pressure allies when necessary. This does not mean every coercive measure works perfectly or that the U.S. controls everything, but it does mean that access to central systems creates a capacity for selective intervention. Farrell and Newman show that coercion is often more subtle than simple embargoes. It can involve denying access, forcing compliance through choke points, or leveraging fear of exclusion from essential networks. Surveillance is equally important because the ability to see flows creates the intelligence needed for coercion. The book's strength here is that it connects the technical mechanics of modern systems to the political logic of enforcement. It makes clear that power in the contemporary economy is not only about producing goods or raising tariffs, but about governing the pathways through which goods, capital, and information move. Fourthly, the tension between strategic advantage and systemic risk. Although the book recognizes the advantages the United States gains from network centrality, it does not treat this power as cost-free. A recurring concern is that frequent or overbroad use of weaponized interdependence may encourage others to build alternatives, reduce trust in global systems, and intensify great power competition. In other words, the same mechanisms that create leverage can also provoke fragmentation. The book suggests that if states come to fear that ordinary economic links can be turned against them, they will seek insulation through parallel networks, domestic substitutes, or tighter regional blocs. That dynamic could weaken the efficiency and openness of the global economy. This makes the book more than a description of American dominance. It is also a warning about escalation. By highlighting systemic risk, Farrell and Newman show that network power should be judged not only by immediate tactical gains, but by long-term consequences for resilience, legitimacy, and international cooperation. The argument is especially relevant in an era of sanctions proliferation and technological decoupling. Lastly, a readable synthesis of political science, reporting, and policy relevance. One reason the book stands out is its combination of scholarly theory and accessible explanation. Farrell and Newman translate a complex academic literature into a narrative that general readers can follow without losing analytical rigor. The book does not rely on abstract modeling alone. It uses reported examples and concrete institutional details to show how theory operates in practice. That makes it useful for several audiences at once: students of international relations, policy professionals, journalists, and readers trying to understand why finance and technology now sit at the center of geopolitical conflict. Its policy relevance comes from its ability to identify leverage points that are often invisible in traditional security analysis. At the same time, the book is careful not to present easy solutions. Instead, it encourages readers to think more critically about dependency, resilience, and the political consequences of connected systems. This balance between explanation and caution is one of its defining strengths, and it helps the book bridge the gap between academic work and public debate. In conclusion, Underground Empire is best suited for readers interested in geopolitics, international relations, global finance, technology policy, and the hidden structure of contemporary power. It will be especially valuable for policymakers, analysts, students, and general readers who want a clearer understanding of how the United States uses its position in global networks to shape the behavior of others. The book offers two major benefits. First, it provides a strong conceptual lens through weaponized interdependence for interpreting sanctions, surveillance, and infrastructure control. Second, it helps readers see why economic integration can be both productive and vulnerable. Compared with many books on American power, this one stands out because it shifts attention from visible force to the technical systems that quietly organize the world economy. That focus makes the argument more original and, in many cases, more unsettling. It does not simply celebrate U.S. influence or condemn it. Instead, it explains how that influence works and why its overuse could damage the international order. For readers who want a serious, evidence-based account of power in the networked age, this is a distinctive and timely book. If you would like to support Henry Farrell, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around!